National historic landmarks are typically associated with our country's history, like Alcatraz or Manzanar, where Japanese Americans were imprisoned during World War II. But in southwest Fresno, one landmark owes its historic status to trash. Yes, it's a landfill, at least a former one. FM 89's Carrie Klein spoke to an environmental historian about the gritty past of what is now a city park.
I'm standing in Regional Sports Complex. It's green and quiet and full of birds. A couple dozen people are here, climbing in the jungle gym and playing around in the half pipe of the skate park a few hundred feet away. But 80 years ago, this would have all been trash. It was the Fresno Sanitary Landfill. The old mound, now covered with grass, still looms behind baseball diamonds and picnic tables. I caught up with a few of the parents standing around the jungle gym. Did you know that this park used to be a landfill?
No, I have no idea, no.
No, actually, I didn't. It's pretty cool. Kind of just gives it a little bit of history and makes it intriguing.
The landfill closed in the 1980s. Martin Melosi, an environmental historian who recently retired from the University of Houston in Texas, tells us how it went from a trash heap to a green space.
It was the location for the first modern sanitary landfill in 1936. And what made that unique was that the landfill, unlike a dump where you just take things and just throw them in a big heap, you are building these trenches, digging them out with trucks, and then putting the garbage in the trenches, then covering them every day with a layer of dirt. Sometimes they use a disinfectant to take the smell out. And then the next day you repeat the same thing until you fill the trench, and then you move on to the next. It seems like an obvious idea, but nobody really had done it in a systematic way. And the major reason was to keep out rats and mice and other vermin, and also to make it indeed sanitary. So a public works director in Fresno, his name was Gene Vincennes, was the one that came up with this idea, and it spread all over the country and indeed all over the world. It was revolutionary because until that time, a lot of cities were just simply dumping waste in the ocean or in lakes, or they were burning it indiscriminately on land. There was some incineration being done, but the landfill was really a good option in the United States where you had cheap, available land and relatively sparse populations.
So what kinds of stuff were disposed of here in the Fresno Sanitary Landfill?
Well, the intention was to use municipal solid waste. That is, whatever is generated from residential and commercial establishments in the city of Fresno and environs. In time, however, either through illegal dumping, which occurred, or because somebody looked the other way or whatever, you begin to see toxic materials entering the landfill. And in some cases, this had to do with the changing nature of available material. So as you get more synthetic material, plastics, and so forth, the composition of the landfill began to change. And all of those things, of course, elevated the toxicity of the landfill.
And so it's no surprise then that in the late 80s, the Fresno Sanitary Landfill became a Superfund site.
Yeah, it was partly a question of what was being dumped there. The other reason was the way the landfill was constructed. Modern landfills, ones we still have, usually, and now by law, have to have a liner of some kind underneath. So this might be, you know, a plastic type in combination with some clay. But none of that was required at the time. And so what you had happen was with a continual rain, you'd have a leaching out of material into the groundwater. And the other thing that occurred was the compaction in the landfill oftentimes created methane gas, which could explode or could escape. And so both of these elements, these environmental risk factors, were not taken into account in the 30s, and the modern landfills do. So it kind of gives the impression that the sanitary landfill was not terribly sanitary, but we use that term in comparison with what came before.
Right, and we should specify that also in the 1980s is when the landfill was shut down also and not used anymore for that purpose. But of course, right. The reason that we're talking about this is that in 2001, this landfill was named a National Historic Landmark. It's a designation bestowed by the National Park Service for sites with national significance, like many homes and historical figures or buildings that were central to things like the civil rights movement. And you, of course, were instrumental in applying for this title for the Fresno Sanitary Landfill. Why did you think it deserved this historic status?
Well, I think it met almost all the criteria, and the most important was that it was nationally significant in terms of sanitation, public health, and city service development. It had these kinds of impacts on our society, and that is really at the core of what these historical sites are all about. It isn't a question of celebrating a particular type of site. For example, we have Japanese concentration camps and mines and all other kinds of things that represent kind of the distaff part of our life in the United States, but they are historically significant for a variety of reasons. And so oftentimes the public understanding of why such a site might be elevated to such a position, it was not well understood. But it's a very, very long and arduous process, and the sanitary landfill in Fresno met all those criteria after a very, very elaborate research and writing period.
Right. It was very long. You mentioned to me earlier that it took you a number of years. But then, of course, in 2001, once it gained this historic status, that wasn't the end of the story. The designation then launched the landfill and you into the national spotlight. Tell me about the controversy that ensued.
Yeah, on the morning when the announcement was made about the various sites that had been elevated to this position, I got a phone call from Washington from Roby Lang, who was the person I was working with within the National Park Service, and said that the Secretary of Interior was up in arms about this being included on the list. Nobody at the National Park Service was allowed to speak publicly, and so that left me if I wanted to talk or not. And I went on NPR that morning, and then I did, oh gosh, I don't know, 20 or so more interviews that day and the next day. Answering a lot of questions, mostly about why would a Superfund site be placed on this list. And the implication that came out of Department of Interior was that somehow that was hidden from the officials there. But indeed, I'd written a really long section on that part of its history. So that was disclosed. Everything was disclosed. And there was a lot of questions about whether this was a kind of a political move on the part of the Bush administration to, again, reassert their what appeared to be kind of an anti-environmental credentials. And I had to make clear that this project had begun under the Clinton administration. It was not politicized. The Bush administration had nothing to do with it. It was something that happened internally within the National Park Service. And I had to answer all those questions. And I guess the biggest issue was the difficulty in people grasping the fact that a dump or a sanitary landfill, and those words were used kind of interchangeably, could indeed be historically significant. And to me, that was the most frustrating part, that you know maybe we had not done a good enough job over the years in trying to demonstrate why these sites are so important to our well-being. But that all came out, and so for a few days, it was all kinds of activity.
Yeah, indeed. People were talking about this everywhere, from public officials to environmental groups. And the Secretary of the Interior at that time had even threatened to revoke the National Historic Landmark status, correct, of the landfill? What happened then? That never actually happened, right?
Yeah, well, she thought she could do it. She didn't understand the rules, and that kind of decommissioning it was almost as difficult as commissioning it to begin with. So, you know, it never happened and it remained historic landmark. I felt particularly bad for the officials in Fresno, who had been incredibly cooperative with me and with Roby, had done a lot of remediation on the site already. They had already had recreation facilities. I think there was a baseball diamond there or some other facilities already in place. They were hoping to be able to use this as a springboard to kind of enhancing their community, and it was an embarrassment to them, and they really did nothing to deserve that.
And it was partly because of 9/11 also that this controversy died down in the federal government, right?
Yeah, I mean, the controversy itself, the designation went on, but this was in the summer of 2001, and then certainly with 9/11, all bets are off. Everything was off the board in terms of what was making the news, what was important to the nation. So, yeah, it just kind of stopped then. It kind of showed up periodically now and then, but the intensity of that issue just kind of faded with 9/11.
Very interesting. Well, Martin Melosi, retired professor of history from the University of Houston, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.